Hey.
Welcome, Brave New Life family, and everyone whose lives have been touched by the ripples of this union that you and I have had, Sovereign. We met, has it been 2 years where we started doing the New Earth work with Sasha? I don't even know if it's been 2 years yet, but right around this time, I heard the name Sovereign and had to figure out who was working behind the scenes. And we started collaborating on a lot of different projects, and that birthed Emancipation. And I want to highlight Emancipation series is really explore in depth what we're kind of saying the next level, but specifically the relationships between the masculine and feminine. So I thought, Sovereign, we could give sort of a backstory, because not everyone even knows how all the pieces connect. You know, you're in Bali, I'm in the States. We've never met in person, but we've spent lots of hours on this Zoom screen together. Wow. And we've birthed a lot. There's a lot of creation energy, which is really, that's the magic between the masculine and feminine. And I think this is a really important conversation at this point in history, where there is a lot of confusion around, I don't say the roles of the masculine and feminine, but how the masculine and feminine is expressed in each of us, and then within each of us, that masculine, feminine within us. And I know you have a lot to say about this, but this is our teaser for the series that we're launching. So I'll hand it over to you to share what your thoughts are on that.
Yeah, it's in mystical traditions, it's called the sacred union. The way that we are within ourselves towards those aspects that may be benefiting more love than they receive when we're young are held in two archetypal worlds. And one is the world of the feminine and one is the world of men. And from my own experience and my own exploration, there is so much that is out of place in our current day society. Much of it is not spoken to, not much of it is really addressed in a public forum. People have to kind of really go on their own internal hero's journey to figure out that there is all sorts of avenues that you can explore. But to do this in communities is where I feel that the relevancy really exists, because once we start co-living together, from my own experience, once we enter into a shared co-working environment and we have a space to relate with each other from a heart-based place, that's also when our internal landscape, with everything that's still unresolved and everything that's still disassociated or disfragmented from our formative years through the primary imprinting, it starts to seek an opportunity to become resolved and to become healed. One of the things that has really stood out in our journey together as we brought into being the Brave New Life community is that we both showed up for that. Mm. And that we both came into these ways of relating with an already established awareness that it all is within, it all comes from there. But how do you support each other? How do you really listen? How do you really receive? And how do you, in some ways, make use of the function when you're receiving somebody that is sharing what's coming up for them that they want to express because they want to explore it, that then triggers you. How do you then make use of that and not go back into the trauma triangle? And the trauma triangle doesn't sound very nice, but it's like being the hero, being the savior, being the consoler, being the sympathetic listener. How do we listen neutrally? And if we do feel that it brings up feelings for us, how do we relate that into the same space and conversation? And to me, that is something that has a lot to do with how men relate to the primary she and the primary imprinting from the primary she. And for most, this was our mother. Mm-hmm. And that forms our primary relationship in what we know, but also what affected us, which then causes us to be unable to really show up in certain ways that are loving and open. And as a man, I can tell you, It's been a really hard ride to learn how to feel again, because I never knew that was even a thing. And so in my exploration of how to bring myself back into wholeness, I had to heal everything around what one may call the mother wounds, and of course also all the father stuff. But where it really comes out and has also come out between us is when we co-work or when we co-live. And so you became for me, as I sometimes became for you, for those parts of self that do want to be retrieved and found and brought back into wholeness, you performed the function of the primary she. And I comprehended that, and you knew that I comprehended that, but so many times it took me weeks to still kind of unravel it all. And having been brave enough and having known that the container that you and I have cultivated together has been one of safety and love and bravery and courage, it has led to some beautiful transformation that we've never felt the relevancy really to share around, because these are really private conversations. They are like really the hardship. And once it's resolved, freedom is returned. So then we don't really feel the relevancy to speak about it anymore. I do recognize that us having both had a kind of break apart from each other and now embarking on a kind of a reunion. So pleased that you want to really dive into this, because you really brought this forward as an element that you also recognize, but really want to kind of carve out, really unveil what is there. And I'm more than happy to put my
heart. And willing.
Yeah, I'm willing to put my heart out on the table for all to see what sort of patterns there are, what sort of behavioral traits of self-protection and avoidance and unavailability, and how all that human damage can actually be chosen to get out of. And that takes a willful commitment, but it also takes this form of relating that you and I have really made a stand for, feeling-based relating. So, yeah.
Yeah, and it does take bravery. That's why I think we coined it the brave new life, your brave new life. And as we were sharing this and the impact that it's had on others, you know, I think you bring that to the point that we were going through our own process, and in our commitment and willingness to show up and being courageous to do that, it's opened a pathway for many others. And so many people have been touched. So when we were working with Sasha on that, and we were receiving all of these hundreds of emails, we really understood that there was a need for that connection and this deeper unveiling as people were becoming more real, raw, and relevant with themselves, with what was their understanding of what was happening in the world. I think it revealed a vulnerability, Sovereign, a willingness for people to look at things that maybe they weren't willing to look at, because we as humans get super comfortable. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, Zach Bush was just talking about it. It's something about humans that we just want to be comfortable. We don't want to deal with things. We don't want to go there. And that's how we got in this situation that we're all now really, if we're willing to look at it. And so we were able in that moment to capture through these feeling-based conversations and what you shared about syntropy and your languaging of the he and the she that was so intriguing to me. It was like, you know, I called it that love language of syntropy, that it was like a remembering in my cells of what I knew, but a way to articulate it. And I think the challenges of these times are for men and women, he's and she's, to have opportunities to practice, to share and communicate that, because it isn't something that we've had a lot of space for. As you mentioned, men haven't really been encouraged to have feelings. And I think, you know, and as women, we express things in different ways that we've been programmed to do. And there's a lot of patterns, and there's a lot that is kind of this programming that we all bought into, even if we were trying not to. We still bought into it, and we've all been impacted. So that is the piece that we have to sort of unravel, unlayer, and unpack. And that's what my motivation was for these conversations was, you know, we had this container, this beautiful container, but to take the conversations to the next level and specifically because we're at a different place than we were 2 years ago as a collective. And many of us are looking to be in community. And, you know, we are co-working, co-creating, co-living. And I'm even going, I'm not even feeling into the word community because I think that's sort of like the word sustainability is overrated, right? And when I think about it, it doesn't feel like, it feels kind of exclusive. And these other, the ideas that we have, there's a lot of PTSD people have around community. So I think we need to reframe that. And that has to do with the way that we relate with others, because there's a lot of trauma of the idea of people thinking that they're going to live with other people that comes up. So since we did the conversations, we embarked like last year this time, both of us took it to the next level and had our Brave New Loves, where we found other people, River that came in through the Brave New Life conversations, and Colleen in your life there in Bali. And so it did take it to the next level, but we didn't necessarily share it with everyone in the way that we want to do right now, because I really, after I rewrote my book, The Absence of Soil, which you and River contributed to, you inspired me to include this piece of the masculine, because it wasn't just connecting the dots on how we arrived here, but it's really about what do we need to do and where do we need to go from here. And you really, for me, it was just the aha moment when you said you need to somehow articulate the shift in you around your relationships to the he and how you've changed. And so that's what I included in the book with both of you. And it feels really relevant to have these conversations to explore. So we'll be bringing on other he's in the next couple of weeks to really have this intimate dialogue. And I think it's a conversation that, as speaking as a woman, a lot of women want to hear. So when we were first speaking and that had that language of syntropy, it was what my cells wanted to hear. And I know that there are a lot of women that want to hear from the masculine that there is an embodiment of this new divine masculine, and that there is a container that's being held for the she to emerge at this really critical time in history, but not just within us, within the men as well.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, it's a perfect time for it. And the beautiful thing in how I relate to it is that there's this sense of readiness from within, because it's so easy to talk about this stuff conceptually or from the sideline, or talk about it in forms of what people, you know, benefit doing, or what course they can be taking, or which direction. And if it doesn't come from embodied, personal, direct experience, it misses the point of reverence for the sacredness of the healing process and the requirement for there to be presence to really witness and to really allow that which just simply needs to come out, because it's still there and it's still stuck. And it may not have anything to do with me, or may not have anything to do with you, but for men to come into that place of embodiment where they comprehend through a cellular remembering that is simply our task in relationship to cultivating deep, intimate space with the feminine. It's first of all restoring that relationship within to the feminine, but at some point you can only get yourself so far. And this is what I personally recognized last year, somewhere in March. And I was like, okay, I'm reaching my plateau, because I can try and do everything that I can in relationship to uncovering my unresolved around what I didn't get or what I got too much of that has imprinted me and formed me to develop coping mechanisms. But I knew that that my progression was really kind of slowing down, because I simply don't allow myself to get triggered, so to speak, when I am just navigating with friends, because that doesn't bring up cellular imprinting or associative memory to imprinting that is still wanting to become resolved. And to some people, this may sound very foreign. It's like, what is all this unresolved imprinting? I've really come to learn from the study of syntropic agroforestry, implying that onto human nature, that we have so many coping strategies that we don't even know that we're operating on, so many unnatural neurochemical processes that are happening. They're all performing a function with purpose by repeating a pattern over and over and over again, so that the self can start questioning, hey, I recognize this pattern. This keeps happening to me. I keep blaming the same, you know, other. This is really not working. And I benefit really looking within where this really comes from. And if I really want to keep doing it like this. And to me, in me feeling that readiness of like, wow, I'm only going to get further in life if I actually commit myself to an intimate and sacred relationship. Once that kind of door opened for me, it wasn't long after that I embarked on my Brave New Love with Colleen. And it has been profound to first off meet someone just like you met River, who actually has the willingness and the comprehension and the emotional intelligence, although, you know, the triggers still come up, that can then after the outburst still come back and go and clean it up, go and show from a place of love what we are intentioning and what we are wanting to stand for, despite that the yuckiness just came out earlier. And this is something that is in our current Western culture, or has been for the longest time, simply just dismissed, just avoided. And I'm saying dismissed because probably prior to the 60s, 70s, the feelings of the feminine and what was stirring in her being, we've come out of a tremendously patriarchally orientated glorification of mind, the world of men. And so this space that we're in now is a ready space, as I've come to find it within myself, and that's all that I'm speaking for, that allows me to see that there is an ability to retrieve and remember the language that we really benefit having as a roadmap and a guiding system. And that language is not a philosophy. It's not a dot-pointed roadmap. It's an experience-based sharing from the heart on how I have navigated certain circumstances and events. And I really look forward to you asking those really kind of piercing questions over the course of this coming series, so that, as I said, I can really put my heart out on the table and really show what it has taken, the vulnerability and the rawness and the tears and the trauma. Because one thing I can say, embarking on a Brave New Love journey, I have come to know what beautiful hurt has existed in my cells, and what deep hidden layers of disassociated aspects of self were still present, but they weren't being brought out by anybody around me, because I had all sorts of ways of avoiding that. Mm-hmm. And it's just so beautiful to see that in containers of intimate relating, and it can simply be in a co-working constellation, that stuff does come up. And the question is, how do we navigate it? How have others done that in a feeling-based and love-filled way? And how can we develop our compassion as opposed to continuing ourselves in our judgments onto the masculine, or our, you know, dismissal of the feminine and all of her feeling intensity? These are things that I feel you and I, with everybody that is going to come on in the series that we have laid out, these are things that I'd really like to bring out and bring to light, because I feel that people will really benefit hearing how do you really do it?
Yeah. And, you know, I've talked about this, you know, it was quite perfect that River and I met in the container of the Brave New Life community, because that was our imprint. And you and I have a lot of connections around birth, and I'm really aware of conscious conception, whatever we conceive, children, projects, businesses, any kind of relationship, because that imprint, as you and I know, has such an impact, and it always ripples out through that. That's the signature of that birth. And we were really intentional when we birthed this community because we came in with that knowing, and that was our shared understanding. And I think that the thing that I like what you just said was this readiness within, that we were also ready. But what you really articulated for me, Sovereign, was the willingness. Because particularly here in the West or where I'm in the States, it's like, do you want? And when you made that kind of distinction in my mind of like, am I willing? And I in human design, and Murray will be on next week, so we'll go into human design and gene keys. I'm a projector, but it's really about the invitation. And the only center I have defined is my will. And so that just connected something within me of like, you know, just the languaging. So we're talking about like, we actually do have to change our languaging and the pathways, like the words that we use. And so part of what River and I've been able to do, because we had the context of the Brave New Life feeling-based conversations, is continuously go back to that, because that was our imprint on how we were relating. So we've only related within that context, and we're not willing to do it any other way. That's our commitment, is to how we want to relate. And as you said, it is a dance, and sometimes it can take, you know, space. You're saying sometimes it would be weeks as we were moving through things. And I think that this, you know, being able to give each other that space in so many different ways, and allowing ourselves and each other to move through that process, because we have our individual process and then we have that process together. So yes, I'm very excited to ask these piercing questions to the He's. Mm-hmm. And I think everyone, He's and She's out there, will be really have a sense of expansion and it's feeling like relief that we as humanity do have the answers on how we need to move forward in birthing this new earth. Mm-hmm. And we all, many of us know at this point that it's going to require a different way of being, a different way of living, and that it's going to require ways of co-creating and co-living. That's the migration of what seems to be laying itself out. And so I think these are essential skills during these times for the people that are going to go down that path. So can you share a little bit about that willingness? Because I think culturally you have a different understanding in your own language, your original language. But I don't think a lot of us in the West, particularly in the States, really have that awareness around the use of words and the use of will.
It's definitely my gift and my talent, and that is my shine, outside of my curiosity that I was born with, of course. But Dutch is my native tongue, so to speak. And I was born and raised, as people say, I like to consider it to be reconsidered and told for what it was. I was brought down in society and properly domesticated over time, of course, with the best of love and care. And my constellation with the genetical parents is beautiful. And I was able to reveal a lot even with my mom, because she understands that it's all really relevant to have all of that come out at some point. And my gift in language has been is that I have a secondary measuring of how language translates and what the difference is within that. And so when I studied syntropic agroforestry, I really got into syntropy, and I applied it onto human nature, because I was already re-enabling my nature. And now I had the strategies of life to explore. It was the most amazing period of acceleration of my natural comprehensions really ever, which has now all become natural, but it's been such a powerful accelerator, this syntropic piece, because it allowed me for the first time to understand self-sovereignty through the lens of syntropy, not through the lens of you got to know your legal status and you got to be able to not pay your parking fines. And it all has value in it. And everything, of course, is valid to one degree or the other. But the sovereignty that I found through the study of syntropy and human nature was one of kindness and caring and love and peacefulness and a restfulness, not being preoccupied with what others are all thinking or saying or needing to appease another third party. And in the study of sovereignty, I found something that was really missing for me in my own self, which was my ability to articulate what it is that I want. And so I found a real big kind of trauma right from birth around that. And I was very intrigued. And it was my partner at the time that brought awareness to it. And she did it so lovingly because we were in such a safe container, so to speak, where we were both re-enabling our nature. And so she very gently put it to me that I noticed that you have, that there's feelings coming up for you that make it seem to me that you are having a hard time expressing what it is that you really want. And I really sat with that to figure out where does that come from? And I translated this aspect of what it is that I want back into my native tongue. And I realized that when we ask a child in the Netherlands, we ask that child, what do you will? And so, of course, I was having these conversations in English. So that's a whole different story. And in English, the language is, what do you want? And just feeling into the difference between those two words, what is it that you will, which is a proclamation of your intention that comes directly from your beingness, as opposed to something that you want, which kind of, for me on a feeling level, implies that somebody is required to bring that somehow closer to me. There is a relationship to somebody else to acquiring that. And that allowed me to really delve into the will. And I was just like, isn't this interesting? In Dutch, that is how we basically raise children in that language form. There is no word for want. It does not exist. And so that deficit of that not existing made me question, like, why do I have so much issues with wanting? And as I kind of grew through that, I learned about the relevancy to recultivate our will. In every country all over the world, there is one document that is the most significant document in anybody's life, and it's called the will. It is the statement that you make before you pass over, and if you accidentally pass over and you already written it, that is going to be executed upon whether you're here or whether you're not here. Well, most cases whether you're not here, but it's such a powerful document. But when I started looking where the word will shows up in the English language, the will is a feeling-based place in the present moment that is either a yea or a nay. I am willing or I'm not willing. But we in the English language have all been kind of circled with the word being used in some sort of futuristic positioning. Will you go and take the trash out? That's a very strange question because we all know that that's a future tense statement. But the will only functions and exists in the present moment. And so I found so many more uses of the word will that have actually nothing to do with the feeling-based place of self-awareness that is either a yay or a nay, that is willingness or non-willingness. And once I started connecting the dots, I really realized that our culture is fundamentally, the Western culture is fundamentally distanced, disassociated, and disconnected from that feeling-based place of self-sovereignty, which resides in our will. And that is something that we can simply recultivate by changing language. And instead of, and it's a training, instead of saying, I want this, I am willing. And just start using that word, the will, as often and as frequently as it is relevant, so that what happens in the process, we reconnect our neurochemistry to our center and our core and our sovereignty. And yeah, that may bring about some challenges and some unresolved feelings because we have been disconnected from that for so long. But the journey home is one of reconnection and restoration and regeneration of our wholeness. And so, yeah, for me, that has been really something that has been an eye-opener. And I know that that piece for many people kind of brings an aha moment about. And yeah, I think that that is something that at some later point I may be able to pull apart a bit more, because there's more to it than just giving it a, you know, giving it some lip service.
Yeah, well, we'll definitely dive into that, because that was really big awareness for me. And I think the way you're saying it, as far as this reconnection of the neural pathways, essentially, and just the awareness of how we use our language, I think is huge for so many of us. The other thing that you just mentioned, Sovereign, is about the future and the present moment. And the other thing that has become, you know, in my consciousness, is about staying in the present moment in our relating. Because so many times we contract others into the future. And that's definitely a piece of what I want to explore, is how we contract each other in relationships. And that's obviously a big part of our programming with all of our certificates of birth, death, and marriage, and how we maintain that sovereignty of our divine unions, of these holy relationships, because when we hand them over to others, we lose that. So that's going to be a future conversation question, and giving you a teaser, but I wanted to ask you something else. As you were going through that process, when did you change your name to Sovereign? I've never asked you this. And what just give the context behind that shift. What was the significance?
Well, kind of the 3D excuse is that I was really tired of having a conversation around my name, which is Sjoerd, that nobody can pronounce, that everybody will say, how do you spell that? Where's that from? Wow. Am I saying it right? No. What about Swivered? And so those conversations got really boring for me, because I was in the local food industry, running a CSA, and I was seeing about 1,000 people a week, and everybody had a different pronunciation. And I kid you not, I could probably come up with at least 500 different ways that people emailing me have been managing to spell my name as, and it's became very hilarious. But really, it was that's more on a 3D level of just like I was kind of done with that. Living, you know, in Australia, living in the Caribbean, and you know, I changed my name to Stuart just to make it easier for the Australians. And so they started calling me Stewie. Hey, Stu, how's it going, mate? So
I have to say, I don't see you as Stuart. So I can't go there.
But on a more internal kind of hero's journey level, it was 5 years ago, 6 years ago, when I really started studying what sovereignty was all about. And I got so disappointed with it, because then I found, I just found it in an emasculated world, which is all of the head, and there's always a bad government out there. And I didn't find any resonance in there. But instead of throwing that out and my original first name starting with an S, the word really stuck with me. And I really did my research. And so the original pronunciation of how everybody calls me Sovereign is Souverain. And so when one does ample research into sovereignty, you'll find that there's different ways to spell it. And I decided that I didn't want to just spell it so that I would pop up on everybody's search if I started writing about what it is that I did. So I also found it intriguing to take more of the, you know, 1356 kind of time frame as a point of reference for me to take on a new sound, a new word sound for myself. Because what that did and what that does for humans to choose to do that consciously, it allows you to step out of the old neurochemical associative memory identity base and actually create a brave new life. Because whether we like it or not, we are tied to the name we were given as birth, as a form of identity, as a form of safety, as a form of whatever you want to call it. And until we are really home and resolved within ourselves, it can be really healthy to kind of consciously disassociate from all that we don't even know is still there and actually choose to become a new frequency that we choose for ourselves and really bear witness to what all then comes up. Because now I had to deal with that I changed my name and I'm still running a business and people are still calling me Swivert or Sheward or Sheward. And I was wanting to go with this new word sound for myself. So that was a journey in emancipation. That was a journey in finding my own voice, my own stance in life. And in the end, I decided that it would just be really good for me to leave Australia so that I could properly set up. For me, the return to wholeness, and you may even call it the journey to self-enlightenment or self-realization, is just part of my soul signature. And I have literally left countries to start a new life several times throughout my lifetime. And it's been so profound because those old relationships and those old ties to social constructs and ways of navigating and doing it and culture and norms and values and just the average small talk that was present in the places where I used to live, it just was so nice to break free of that. And for me, it just felt really nice to be able to start a new life with a clean slate, with an open and new beginning, but also that it is a word sound for me because of my sincere attraction to restore my self-sovereignty and my wholeness, which is a state of peacefulness and loving kindness, is that I can only use this word sound if I see everybody else as sovereign. See, the thing about sovereignty is that you do no harm. And how could I claim sovereignty if everybody else is sovereign as a human being, if I put them under me or if I put them over me? In the essence, I would lose my sovereignty in that very moment. Of course, yeah, we're just here for growth. And so there's no losing, but there is this sense of like, it is keeping me very much on track. And it's a beautiful mechanism for me contained in the sound that I use for myself to remind myself every day to treat others, to be humble, to be kind, to be loving, and to just keep looking within myself whenever I have a judgment onto those that I seem to deem something, something.
I love that that word sound has served as your emancipation and as a reminder of your own sovereignty and those of others. And I think, again, this, what I touched on earlier, the power of being disrupting mm-hmm. patterns, disrupting ways that shift us into new ways of being or new way, like literally being, you know, that that way of shifting. And I felt that way when I changed my name, that I do think the frequencies of our names are really relevant and that they, it's how we respond, you know, and they serve a purpose at that time, the way that we come into the world and how we are named and all of that. But I do think it's powerful having that experience where we claim that for ourselves. Not that everybody needs to change their name, but for me, I felt that similarly. And I wanted to also just touch on this ability for men to emancipate themselves, to just pick up and leave. Very different than how women are able to do it. So, and both you and River have a lot of parallels in that you were able to relocate and many, you know, travel the world. As women, particularly those with children, it's much more challenging. But I also think it's going to be a relevant conversation to dive into of how women and men do that differently.
Yeah.
And that we all need that emancipation and to find our own sovereignty, but different ways of expressing that. And that there, and that's part of what I want to explore. Like, what are the ways and how do we honor that? And the men that need to do it and the ways that they need to do it. And how can women do it in their way? So I'm super excited about this series, Sovereign, and all of the deep dive explorations that we're going to do as we bring in others to have these really alive conversations. I told you, you know, when I put out this request, you know, reach out a couple months ago, because it's like, we, you know, I've been wanting to do this for months, and I know this is always the right time. And when, you know, I think there's a lot of other people out there talking about this as well. So I think it's a conversation for the times. And I think it's actually the most important conversation for the times. That's why, you know, I said it feels really important to do this, because when we heal the wound between the masculine and feminine, the ultimate wound, when we'll heal all the other wounds, because the impact of patriarchy and what we've been living in this age for so long is what's deconstructing. And we need to, you know, to understand the pathway there so that we, one, don't recreate what we're trying to get away from. And I think a lot of times when people emancipate themselves or, you know, run away from things, they maybe are just running away and recreating, like, as you mentioned, the patterns that we repeat over and over again, different location, different people. How do we do that in a way where we're really, for the future generations, templating out a new way of relating that's based on love and based on sovereignty? And I think that's, you know, what humanity's ready for. And it's humanity being ready for this. We weren't ready for this before, individually and as a collective. I think that this is the time. And I'm curious what your thought is on this being the time for us to really heal this wound. One of the things when I was putting it in my book, I thought that, and I don't know if, because you haven't read the final version, and I can blanking on her name, but I'll bring it up. But she said, nobody has to love you, but sometimes they do. And, you know, obviously we talk a lot about self-love, and that's about loving ourselves and being in that place where we love ourselves so that we can allow others to love us, because there's a willingness in even allowing others to love us.
Yeah.
And I think that this is the most important conversation. So I want to close putting that back to you, is what's your feeling about this conversation?
Well, for me personally, when you raised it, because I'm so in tune with the kind of archetypal nature of human consciousness, and that may be a bit of a, you know, term that many people don't really know what that means, but this is how the fabric of reality for human consciousness really works. I shared with you that the series that we were going to do is going to be emancipation, and that was probably 2.5 months ago, and guess what I had to do? I had to properly emancipate myself. I would not have been ready if I didn't have the internal volatile breakdown within myself to actually find a part of self that, if I had not reintegrated it, I would not have been able to sit here with you in integrity. I was still coping. And so I have so much humility in myself at the moment for the awareness of what it really takes and what it takes for love to really show up for itself. And knowing the ways to find what is inside that wants to break free, it wants to be released, but it doesn't want to just get a voice, it wants to be resolved. That was the big process for me in the last 2.5 months, and it's just been amazing to do that in my constellation and my Brave New Love with Colleen, and that through that inner transformation of really healing what I would call maybe even the mother wound, what they're set for me in the core essence of it, and it may sound so simple, but it was so strangely deep, is for me to, because what I learned that I was doing in an unemancipated way, I was able to show up in these amazing, powerful, inspiring, but I was performing. I was doing my best with all the skills and ways and things that I had developed to serve my queen. And I was making breakfast, I was cleaning, and I was doing all this great thing, driving it around, and I was literally running out of rope, so to speak, because it wasn't fully authentic. And so as I was being all those things, I was also draining my own resiliency, my own well, to find at the bottom of that well something that was actually blocking the wellspring itself of that being just a natural emergence of serving the she. And I had developed a ton of ways to do really beautiful, amazing, inspiring, loving, kind, and caring ways to show up. And underneath it all, there was unresolved resentment. There was the story, ultimately, of I'm not good enough. Look at it in all the ways that I'm showing up, and still it's not good enough. No, of course it's not going to be good enough, because she knows. She may not be able to put her finger on it. She may not be able to name it. She may not be able to uncover it, but she feels it. And she'll speak to what she feels. And I had to really be with that. And I had to really grok that. And I had to really feel like, wow, that's bringing stuff up for me. Where is that coming from? And so because there was this loving, caring curiosity, I was able to receive from Colleen that she felt that I may have a protector that is actually doing the shielding for me. And in the following week, there was the loving and caring, kind curiosity statement that the protector may actually be an inferior part of self, not this kind of, because it comes out as if it's a powerful, you know, I'm all emancipated, I'm all sovereign. And really, it was actually operating out of lack. It was operating out of inferiority. And it was operating out of I'm not enough. And so when we had a beautiful closing ceremony to a chapter of our Brave New Love relationship, as I like to call it, a ship is such a weird word. It brings up a boat. What is this boat? Where's this boat going? Are we on this boat together? I'm my own person. But when you're in a relationship, that's beautiful. And we closed out a chapter and we asked each other, is there anything else that you would like to hear? And I asked that of myself, sitting with that, and all that my inner core essence of being, because I was ripped open already, and I was fully present and willfully there to be in that space. And what I heard from within is that I want to hear that I am enough. And because I cultivated this deep loving connection to Colleen, her speaking those words as the primary she. And if people came into this conversation a little bit later, go back to the beginning to figure out what that is. When she spoke those words, because my cells assigned that role to her for the first time in my life, this part of self that was the protector, but that was also blocking the wellspring of all this natural inborn ability of the masculine to serve and to show up and to provide, that part that was sitting there was just wanting to hear those words. And when it received it, I just melted. I just melted like a little boy. And that was my emancipation. So emancipation is not something that we go out and we create strong, powerful, you know. No, it is coming home into the real vulnerability and really meeting our original self there that has a story that wants to be revealed. And that wants to let go of all that weight that it was holding on to be a man in this world. I learned all this.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that, Sovereign. Words came out of your mouth, but what I was going to say is it requires vulnerability to actually be emancipated. And I want to speak to the role as women holding space for the men, the masculine in this form, you all as he's, because I think oftentimes we she's have ideas about how men should show up and serve the she, serve us, honor us. And you have, as you just really described, your own process and feelings of worth around that. So I think many men really, in an effort thinking that that's how you do it, you know, show up in a way that you just so eloquently described as far as it overdoing it, but wasn't authentic. It was depleting you in a way that you're actually being depleted. And that can really turn into, and I've seen this in a lot of relationships, a demasculinated man. And I had experience, you know, in my second marriage with that, me as a woman having ideas around how a man shows up, or you said you were going to show up, you said you were going to do this, and you promised, and this idea of being saved, these all of these things that we have, right? And it's the ideas around what that looks like. Mm-hmm. And I think I really want to inspire women in this series to not come into this looking like, where are the men that I'm looking for? And when are they going to show up? And when are they going to enable their nature and be embodied, defined masculine? But it's essential for us to hold the container in space for that to happen. So it's absolutely critical that we have our own reflection on what it is that's required from us to be able to enable that emancipation. So I really want to create the context for these relationships, that because I often think women feel that the men need to do something. They need to show up differently. They need to fill in the blank. And these are the expectations, the contracts, the programming that we actually have to break down. And we have to be able to discern between men who are still in the old way of relating and the men that are really trying to emancipate and do things in a different way. So that's my intention with this series, is to ask those questions to really activate women to be able to hold space for this divine masculine to reemerge and for us to have this holy union that that humanity is waiting for, to really heal this wound. So there's no expectation that it's on the men to do it, to figure it out, to be the protector, to save the day. It is it's a duality. It's a dance between both of us. And so I'm hoping that that's what others receive from these conversations that we'll be having in the weeks to come. So I'm so grateful for you, Sovereign, for showing up in my life and for the creation that we've birthed through the Brave New Life community. So grateful that we were both able to connect with our brave new loves on the opposite sides of the world and be able to begin to template this out in our own practice. And now we're ready to share that with others, because it's super beautiful and it's really needed. Well, I don't like to use that word need, but it's really essential for us to have some pathways for others to find their way. So I'm super excited.
So great. Yay. Yeah. Thank you, love. So beautiful. I look forward to what we get to dive into and reveal and unveil in transparency and openness, because these conversations for me are really about showing more the inner landscape, the inner struggles without, see, once the unresolved is resolved, there's no emotional drama or intensity there anymore. So we can speak about it from a loving place. And I feel that benefits being done in neutrality, so that anybody listening, and this is how I know through our practice of feeling-based relating in the Brave and Alive community that we've really engaged in and engaged so many more people in over time, is that the cells get an opportunity to remember. Mm-hmm. And so this is not you know, a series on how to re-enable your nature, or, you know, by simply tuning in and listening and just having yourselves hear the experience of others that are openly expressing, but really revealing not just how they've navigated, but what was going on for them internally in an open, transparent, and vulnerable way. That is the healing in and of itself. And we see this every week in the Brave New Life community, is that as others share and reveal what it is they're navigating, each and every one is getting something out of that. We either recognize ourselves in their story, or we find that there are more options than the options that I had available to deal with exactly the same emotional turmoil that I'm sitting with. And so this is something that I feel is a desire that I'd really like to nurture. And I know this desire lives in many, many humans to really speak to and to have those more, call them frank conversations, but frank with love, to get into and underneath the skin of what's really going on in the thoughts, what's really there, to no longer make it sound as if we fully know what it is that we're doing. I certainly am willing to show up for all of this. And that's,
and I so appreciate your willingness. And so if you're not on the mailing list already, you can go to bravenewlife.net to get on, and you'll be reminded for these conversations, but we'll also be streaming on whatever social media platforms we're still on. So some on YouTube and on my personal Facebook page. But we really want to thank our partners, Earth Heroes TV, which will be live streaming, and we'll actually be bringing on Shay, the founder, for one of our conversations, because he's definitely one of the people that we want to share with all of you. And so really tune in for that. We'll be sending out the reminders, but they'll be posted and available to watch at any time through earthheroestv.com. So thank you again, Sovereign, for showing up and being willing. And thank you, everyone, for tuning in and being part of the conversation.
Yes, and if you felt you got something out of this, please just share it out. This is a together event, so to speak. We have limited capacity to reach people that we're not connected with as yet. So if you feel that this is something, a conversation, as the series is going to start on Sunday, if you feel that others would benefit just hearing parts of this, just share it on your social feeds, put it in an email to somebody. Hey, this is happening, this is coming. And I feel that not only ourselves will be able to get a lot out of it, but I think that for anybody tuning in, it will be inspiring to see that this is being lived. This is being expressed in conscious awareness. And there are pathways and life ways that are part of the transformation between that core wound, between the masculine and the feminine, the man and the woman, the he and the she. So, thanks for sharing the love, everyone. And we'll tune again in on Sunday.